Women in Love by D.H. Lawrence. This book is read by Vanessa Benjamin. The following biographical sketch is provided for the benefit of our listeners. David Herbert Lawrence, 1885 through 1930, novelist, short story writer, poet, critic, playwright and essayist, and one of the most important and controversial 20th century English novelists. His works are notable for their passionate intensity and for a sensuality that centres on but is not limited to the erotic. He was born in Eastwood, Nottinghamshire, England, to a coal miner father and a mother from a family with genteel aspirations. Emotional friction between his parents and Lawrence's close relationship with his mother left important traces in his later writing. In 1911, after earning a teaching certificate in 1908 from University College in Nottingham, he published his first novel, The White Peacock, with the help of Ford Madox Ford. In 1912, he met the woman he was to marry, Frieda Weekly, and began an intensely intimate but difficult relationship that was to form the underlying theme of much of his later fiction, notably Sons and Lovers, 1913. World War II was a dark period in Lawrence's life. The Rainbow, 1915, was banned as obscene, and his wife's German origins surrounded them with suspicion and hostility. After the war, Lawrence moved his family to Italy, where he wrote several novels, including Women in Love, 1921, Aaron's Rod, 1922, and the brilliant Studies in Classical Literature. His final years were spent in ill health and legal complications over Lady Chatterley's lover, 1928. He died of tuberculosis in 1930. Foreword by D.H. Lawrence. This novel was written in its first form in the Tyrol in 1913. It was altogether rewritten and finished in Cornwall in 1917. So that it is a novel which took its final shape in the midst of the period of war, though it does not concern the war itself. I should wish the time to remain unfixed, so that the bitterness of the war may be taken for granted in the characters. The book has been offered to various London publishers. Their almost inevitable reply has been, "We should like very much to publish, but feel we cannot risk a prosecution." They remember the fate of The Rainbow, and are cautious. This book is a potential sequel to The Rainbow. In England, I would never try to justify myself against any accusation. But to the Americans, perhaps I may speak for myself. I am accused in England of uncleanliness and pornography. I deny the charge and take no further notice. In America, the chief accusation seems to be one of eroticism. This is odd, rather puzzling to my mind. Which eros? Eros of the jaunty amours, or eros of the sacred mysteries? And if the latter, why accuse? Why not respect, even venerate? Let us hesitate no longer to announce that the sensual passions and mysteries are equally sacred with the spiritual mysteries and passions. Who would deny it any more? The only thing unbearable is the degradation, the prostitution of the living mysteries in us. Let man only approach his own self with a deep respect, even reverence, for all that the creative soul, the God mystery within us, puts forth. Then we shall all be sound and free. Lewdness is hateful, because it impairs our integrity and our proud being. The creative, spontaneous soul sends forth its promptings of desire and aspiration in us. These promptings are our true fate, which is our business to fulfill. A fate dictated from outside, from theory or from circumstance, is a false fate. This novel pretends only to be a record of the writer's own desires, aspirations, struggles. In a word, a record of the profoundest experiences in the self. Nothing that comes from the deep, passional soul is bad, or can be bad. So there is no apology to tender, unless to the